Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live today from the Allo Communications Studios. I am Brady Hull. We got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass, which, you know, Tanner's claiming that that's his. I started that thing, Angel. I started the bulletproof glass thing, you know, back in the day, many, many moons ago. But Tanner's trying to steal my thunder there. What do you think?
I hope that either of you don't have to test your theory.
So far,
and if you do, yeah. I'm not producing that day.
Warning shots.
Just do it with Micah. Try it out with him.
Yeah, well, that's the test. Well, that was the test back in the day, and it was pretty durable at that point. But
Tanner threw a staple at it today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's getting dangerous in here.
Yeah, there's a little scratch. I can see it.
That's why we can't have nice things here.
That's why we got to get a new building.
Got to get a new building.
Tearing apart this one.
Move around. Who knows? It's why we can't have nice things. And the Broncos, I guess, can't really have nice things either. Even when things are going well, suddenly the offense is clicking. Feels like maybe, just maybe, you could pull off the win of a century here. Russell Wilson goes down. Did that game, Broncos lose 34-28, newsflash if you weren't paying attention. They covered the spread, got that one. I'm three games over 500 now in the picks, Angel. So I'm feeling really good about that. My Method Flow Products poll question of the day, after witnessing a failed comeback attempt against the Chiefs and the best offensive output by Denver this season, should Nathaniel Hackett get one more year as a head coach? Does it feel like the narrative's changed a little bit today? That maybe this is the first time in weeks? Or for the first time since, you know, week three or four, we're actually saying maybe this could work? I mean, considering the injuries and everything going into it, is this something where we're really taking, I guess, a moral victory? Is there such things as moral victory in the NFL? Yes. The players won't tell you that. The coaches won't tell you that. But a moral victory for Nathaniel Hackett could mean his job. Now, we said on Friday that if Denver finds a way to win and you beat the Chiefs, arguably the best team in the NFL right now, that changes things a bit. We're going to have Zach Stevens on the show at 11:30. We'll ask him because he said it a couple of weeks ago. George Payton is going to give Nathaniel Hackett every chance there is to try to keep his job, because Payton doesn't. This is a worse look on Payton than it is Hackett. I mean, Hackett's going to go on and probably go back to Green Bay or be an offensive coordinator, and that might not be the last stop for him. He could still work his way back up to be a head coach, kind of like Josh McDaniels did. For George Payton, I mean, this could be his shot at being a general manager. He goes back to being an assistant or whatever. He may never get that shot again if this thing. If the Russell Wilson thing goes down as the worst trade in NFL history, which there's certainly signs of that, and then a Hackett hiring turns out to be one of the worst head coaching decisions in history, is George Payton going to be in line to get another GM job anytime soon? Probably not. So he wants those two moves, his biggest moves as GM, to work out. Is his best bet to stay the course? Now go vote. No, yes, he's not gone yet. 54% of the Hooligans are saying no. Only 9% are saying yes right now that maybe he should get one more year. Angel, is it crazy? My brain is kind of telling me they should run this thing back. They're going to get healthier. You're not going to have a season like this again. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have big-time names go down. It's what happens to every team every single year. You're not going to avoid that, but you're not going to see it. Dalton Reisner was the lone survivor on the offensive line, and then he was out yesterday. You were without, you know, Cortland Sutton. I mean, your two receivers out, your running back situation, everything. It's just been awful for Denver. And then you look at that game yesterday. Now, if Josie Jewell doesn't get that first pick, that kind of seemed to set things up and turn this game around, I don't know. Maybe we don't get that momentum that the offense saw for the rest of the game, but you can't really do that because the Broncos did move the ball. Even in that first drive, they converted, was it three or four third downs? Something they don't do very often. I think they were on their way to having their worst third down conversion percentage ever. More so than the Tebow year, which was 30%. Denver was at 26%. And they were better yesterday. In every way. Touchdowns, they were moving. I mean, they were 6 of 17 in third down efficiency. Not amazing, but much better. I mean, Kansas City was 6 of 12. Are we really ready to have that conversation of, well, you saw something, was it enough to bring back Hackett for one more year? And I'm kind of starting to say yes. Is that nuts? Have I lost it?
No, I don't think you have, because I think, you know, we talked about it last week, how much to be competitive in this game or to win this game would say a lot about this team and where they're at mentally at this point in the season. You know, obviously,
they didn't check out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're officially eliminated now, so you can take the playoffs off the table and just focus on, you know, what's this team looking like moving forward. And, you know, the conversation will be had about Nathaniel Hackett. And I think this game is going to be important in that conversation, but I also think the next four games are going to be important to see how this team can respond. They showed a lot of fight. You showed a lot of heart, a lot of grit to get back in that game. If, you know, you can kind of, you took advantage of that, you know, first third quarter minutes there. You get two touchdowns, you get the ball back to start and try to get some momentum going. And then obviously, you know, Wilson gets hurt at the end, but you still scored there. So what was it, like 34 to 28 at that point?
Yeah.
So you're in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs in the fourth quarter. And, you know, your starting quarterback just got hurt. I think if Russ continues that game, I think you have a good chance at winning.
You might win that game. You know, Brett Rippon, of course, throws the pick. He gets hit, but ball goes way up in the air. It's like a punt, essentially, and it gets picked. And that, for the most part, ended the shot. But the defense came up with some big stops at the end, and Russ had the momentum there. He and Jerry Jeudy were finding something, and Brian said this on Good Morning NoCo, and I agree. Who would have thought it would be Jerry Jeudy the one to spark everybody? You know, mentally, he was the one flipping out after, you know, another failed possession by the offense. And then once he starts getting it going, he's like pumping everybody up. Like, he's in Russ's face and on the positive. He's helping him out. Russell Wilson goes down with a concussion. That was a scary moment on Joe, but now, you know, he's got the concussion. Might play Sunday. I don't know what the Broncos are going to do there. But was there any doubt that he had a concussion when he first went down? He went down hard. He was fighting for this team. And I think maybe for the first time, Broncos country really saw a fight, real fight from Russell Wilson. I mean, he threw down the defender. He runs, he rolls off. If he doesn't throw that defender off, he's not getting a first down. He gets the first down. He almost gets a touchdown out of that deal. Goes down hard. He looked woozy, man. And then you see him without his helmet. He's growing a horn on the side of his head. That's scary stuff.
No, that was, you know, I'm no stranger to quarterback concussions this year, but seeing that's just, you never like to see it. You appreciate the heart to kind of just break through three defenders there at the goal line to try to just give your team that extra push, but getting tackled on the back and kind of just driven down into the turf. And you saw the camera zoomed in on Russ's face, and he just looked completely lost.
Yeah, like, there was no doubt.
There was, you know, no thought or anything, and you could see he's trying to move, but clearly bell rung and just knocked out for a little bit. And then, yeah, the knot on the side of his head, that just
I didn't quite
see reminded
anything
me
like
of
that.
Childhood. Like, hit your head as a kid,
you get those
your
knots
mom's
all
like,
the
oh,
time.
You got a bump on your head, and you're just like, God, that looks painful.
You don't see that very often, where it's like
a protruding bump.
You don't ever really see like a physical sign of a concussion other than being woozy, and then they kind of recover, and you're like, oh, he's just kind of woozy, got his bell rung. It's maybe not a concussion, I don't know. But in that case, you saw it. I mean, that's got to be killing him this morning.
I'm sure.
Ugh. But you did, there is kind of a sense from Broncos country that might have been enough for you to see that this thing could work. It's against the Chiefs. You know, the question came to me this morning, did the Chiefs take their foot off the gas? Maybe so, but they shouldn't have. Because they needed that win. We talked about it on Friday. you know, I liked Broncos to cover the 9.5. They did. They've been covering 9.5 all but one game this year. But my fear on picking the 9.5 was that the Chiefs are going to be so pissed after losing to the Bengals, knowing that they need to lock down the first seed. That's what they're pushing for. I mean, they could have locked down the AFC West. They needed the Chargers to lose, but it's still very much there. So they absolutely needed to win that game, and they did. They were starting, I mean, what was it, 27-0 at one point. And you came all the way back and made this a football game, and your output offensively was, what, 13.5 points per game, scored 28. You moved the ball. Russell Wilson had 3 touchdown passes. Jerry Jeudy had 3 touchdown catches. He got one of those from Brett Rypien. I'm going back on this, man. I mean, you look back at their schedule and how many close games they had. You mean to tell me that if Courtland Sutton or that if Tim Patrick and Javonte Williams and some of the other guys aren't in these games, those close ones against the Colts, Chargers, Jets, Titans, Raiders, you mean to tell me there's not 2 or 3 wins there? And you're at least going, all right, we're a 6-win team right now, 5-win team. It's hard to do that. Your record is exactly what it is. It tells you exactly the story of the season. But there's got to be some belief right now in that organization today that maybe this could work. Nathaniel Hackett hasn't made the same mistakes that we saw at the beginning of the season. Now, it's still an offense that's not consistently producing. You know, most of the time it's not. But we've been dying for that opportunity to see something from this offense, a pulse. And Josie Jewell got the pick, but the way this usually went for Denver is you get the big play by your defense and then you sputter. Well, no, they went down and scored. Then they went down and scored again. Patrick Surtain comes up with a pick, and you delivered complimentary football. We haven't seen it all season. Denver defense came up with the big plays, but the Broncos offense delivered. They still had to drive down the field, half the field, whatever, to get themselves in a good position. And Denver did. So are we having this conversation of Nathaniel Hackett maybe should be back? I'm shocked that only 9% of the hooligans so far are saying yes. You know, everyone's saying no, or he's not gone yet, he should be gone. I hold the phone. Now it's 16% saying yes. I think there's a conversation to be had today.
I think it's, you have to look at the context of the game and that how much of that effort was Russ just kind of leading the team on his own, and how much credit can you really give to Hackett if he's not calling the plays?
I that's the thing.
That's where people are still hung up on is this guy actually a head coach? It's one thing to have your team get momentum in the game, but you're not calling the plays. You're not calling the defensive plays. Maybe you're just kind of there. Is it more Russ just leading his offense?
Maybe. But, you know, this is what happened back 3 years ago, whatever, when Drew Lock was the quarterback. He came in at the end of the season. He played for 5 games. And you had Scangarello as the offensive coordinator with Vic Fangio. And what did they do? They found momentum in the last 4 games, 5 games. They got smoked by the Chiefs, but they won 4 games out of 5. And then what did they do? They moved on from Scangarello and brought in Pat Shurmur, and it messed this whole thing up. I mean, I guess I just look at it and go, what gave you momentum at the end of the season? Nathaniel Hackett as head coach, Clint Kubiak calling the plays, Ejiro Evero as the defensive coordinator. Now, 4 games remaining might give us the test here, but if there's momentum and we see it, we truly see it at the end of the season, you don't want to make the same mistake Vic Fangio and company did with Drew Lock after his rookie season. We found success. Let's change everything that we did to give Drew Lock success. Let's bring in another new offensive coordinator. At some point, you do have to just hold out. Now, Hackett was so bad at first, not making the same mistakes that he was, but still not good. However, there's a spark. Do you use that spark? Can you take advantage of that spark and then stay the course for one more year and see if that works? It's worthwhile discussion. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, although it was another bad weekend for the Broncos, ultimately, still a loss. The good I'm going to take is some hoops. The Denver Nuggets looked great over the weekend. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic combined in the last game out against Utah for 61 points. Michael Malone thinks that Jamal is kind of getting back. It's amazing what two games do. We were talking about it before that going, where's Jamal? But he hits the game winner against Portland, and he dominates against Utah. All right. CSU beat Peru State out of Nebraska somewhere. That was cool. UNC Bears free throwed them to death, and they get the W against Cal State Northridge. That was good. They went 70-63. The Bears have won four out of their last five. They got two more non-conference games. Let's go run the table in the Big Sky Conference. That's my good. The bad is the Broncos losing, of course. It's kind of a staple of the show now. The ugly was Russ's concussion. I mean, he showed fight. He showed heart. He showed something. Some kind of pulse was there, but that looked ouch-y, as my kid would say, owie. I mean, it was a big-time knot on the side of Russ's head. So what does that look like going forward? Do you play Russell Wilson, assuming he can go against Arizona on Sunday? Do you risk it, knowing he is, for better or worse, the long-term plan here? But you also kind of want to take these four games because you didn't have one. You didn't really utilize the preseason. Do you take these last four games with Kubiak and Hackett and Russ and really try to work on this offense? Maybe you get a couple of guys back in the lineup next week and it looks a little better. So there it is, the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Okay, we're going to take a short break, 11:23 the time. Zach Stevens will join me at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts. Like, what's the feel there this Monday after beating the Chiefs, after morally, like a moral victory, fighting, I guess, against it. Yeah, Dixon saying moral victories. I mean, what do you want, man? What do you want?
You're 3-8. You can have a moral victory.
Yeah. Well, now three and ten.
3-10. Is it 10?
Are they 3-10? Are they 3-10? Yeah. 3-10. Wow. We're almost done with the season.
How about that?
We'll take a short break. Poll question of the day. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. After seeing what you saw yesterday, should they have had this game on Sunday night? I mean, it turned out to be pretty good, and you got to see Patrick Mahomes do magic, that little toss, that weird little crazy play that was a touchdown, just nuts. It actually turned out to be a really good game to a lot of Broncos country surprise. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Down to 1:38 left. Wilson, a floater, caught! Touchdown, Jerry Jeudy. Wilson to the end zone. Touchdown, Jerry Jeudy.
Wasn't enough for the Broncos, but Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy found a connection there. Man, I loved some of the play calls for Jeudy in that one. Even with the Brett Rippon touchdown as well, Jerry Jeudy showed what kind of receiver he could be, and I have not seen that for the most part during his tenure with the Denver Broncos. So, is there something there? I know. It's probably too little too late. Maybe the Broncos are already in that mode of trying to find their next guy, but Today's the first time in weeks, maybe dating back all the way to week 4 or 5, where I really believed that Hackett could be the long-term guy, not long-term guy, but could get another year to try to grow this thing. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Jerry Judy's in my mix for the Zvi Brewing, for my whole show Player of the Week presented by Zvi Brewing. I put it out on Twitter. He's leading right now. But I have Dalton Connect in the mix, Isaiah Stevens in the mix, Jerry Judy in the mix, and then Jamal Murray. Who do you like from that group there, Angel? I got to make a decision tonight. Sometimes I let these things simmer a little bit more because I don't want to be too quick for it. I originally liked Dalton Connect because he had a monster rebounding night. He had the double-double. Should Jerry Judy be the player of the week? We haven't had a Broncos regular season player of the week, I don't think. But it's a loss.
I don't think so.
So
it's hard to give a player a win when they lost. Isaiah, after a tough loss against CU, come back and have a good showing against Peru, whatever.
Yeah.
No offense to Peru University or whatever they are.
Peru State,
know your name.
I think.
You don't have a logo.
I couldn't click you. I couldn't click you guys.
You don't exist to ESPN. You don't exist to us.
Yes.
Jamal, good bounce back game against the Jazz. Yeah. That was a fun game to watch.
31 points for him.
Dalton Connect, he's been kind of the unsung hero for the Bears this year.
He's a beast.
I think you know where I'm going.
You going Dalton?
Yeah.
I might go Dalton. Not sure just yet, but
Jerry's leading the poll right now.
Jerry's leading the poll. Somebody commented, how about, what's his name? He had 5 touchdowns for the School of Mines. School of Mines is going to championship game in Division II. I don't talk School of Mines, and I don't talk Division II. If UNC was Division II, I'd probably talk Division II. John Matacha? John Matacha? 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 5 touchdowns.
There you go.
I can't make a guy that's not in our coverage map player of the week. I mean, CSU Pueblo guy could throw 400 touchdowns. And he wouldn't be in the mix for player of the week. I mean, this is the whole show. We talk Denver North and then national. This is national now, I guess. But my players of the week are not national. Patrick Mahomes is not going to win a whole show player of the week. John Matatataka Chichunamu is not going to win player of the week. Sorry. You excited about this, though? School of Mines going to the D2 national championship game? Does this move the needle in your brain at all?
Not really.
Be honest. It's fine.
Mines is cool. I went to a party there freshman year. I was probably way too young to go to this party. Just, you know, underage, but it was weird. It was a weird night.
There's a lot of smart stuff going on there? School of Mines?
Sure,
oh,
yeah.
Different Mines.
Yeah. The Mines of
Moria.
Yeah. The trolls and such.
Who are they playing? They're playing Ferris something in the championship?
Bueller?
Yeah, they're playing Ferris Bueller.
That should be a fun matchup.
I love it, though. It's like, I don't talk about these guys ever. And then people are like, make him your player of the week. What? No. We're not doing that. 33 minutes after the hour, we got to take a quick break. We got Zach Stevens coming up next. Has the vibe changed in Denver surrounding Nathaniel Hackett? Let's get to it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Has the mood changed in Denver? Even though the Broncos lost 34-28, there was something. There was offense there. Zach Stevens joining me now of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Zach, all right, we'll get in. I want to unpack what happened from the game yesterday and talk about Russell Wilson going forward this week. But is that enough to get us at least having the conversation of Nathaniel Hackett year two?
Brady, that is the juiciest question you could have asked, and you started off with it. I love it. And you know what? Just yesterday, no, that's not enough. But I did see enough from yesterday where if he's able and the team's able to do something similar in the final four games, a.k.a. be competitive with the Chiefs in Kansas City, be competitive with the Chargers in that final game of the season when the Chargers will likely be playing for the playoffs, and then beat both the Rams and the Cardinals, then Brady, yes, I think we are talking about a path for Nathaniel Hackett to be back next year.
Well, Zach, what if you see something similar in the next four games where, you know, maybe the Broncos lose like in the 30s to the high 20s each game here, but you're seeing the offense go, but they're all losses. Is there still are we looking at wins and losses now? Or are we going to take each game and go, all right, offense got going. Is that a possibility, even if they lose all four?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you can't just be looking at wins and losses, because if the Broncos are winning 13-10 in two of the next four games, and let's assume that it's against the Rams and the Cardinals, well, Nathaniel Hackett and his offense that you brought him here for didn't really do it, so there is more context to that. And so, Brady, I think the key is not only what I said about, you know, winning two of the next four and being competitive in the other two, but I think another key part of that is going to be if you score 24 points or more in all of those games, and then it's Nathaniel Hackett's offense and Nathaniel Hackett's blueprint on this team that's driving them. I think that is the case. So certainly it's going to have to be the offense that picks it up. And look, it's crazy to say that the Broncos are going to be able to score 24 points or more in these next four games, because they've only done it once, and that was yesterday.
Well, and Zach, something I was talking about to start the show is, okay, I go back to the Drew Lock year, the rookie year, when he got those last, what, four or five games. They won four out of five, four out of five, I think. And Drew Lock was showing a nice spark, and I think Broncos country said, we found our quarterback. Well, what happens? You move on from Scangarello and you bring Pat Shurmur in. So that's where my brain's kind of going. What if you see some momentum here, just like you saw with Drew Lock? You don't want to make the same mistake twice and say, okay, well, now we're just going to scrap everything, and then that shuts it all down. Now, again, the body of work, it doesn't back it up. I know this is fresh in our mind, but there's a part of my brain that just keeps going back to, okay, Hackett's not making the same mistakes, and if he and Kubiak and Russell Wilson can really just get together this offseason and try to make this thing work, there's maybe, who knows? It's weird that we're even there today, though.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's a refreshing place to be, because it's a different conversation, at least, which is nice, since it's been the same conversation for pretty much the first 13 weeks of the season. But Brady, I'm there with you. You hired a rookie head coach. You should have expected some growing pains. Now, no one could have envisioned that it was going to be this bad. Of course not. But if that rookie coach starts figuring it out in the final month of the season, would you just move on from him right away? Let's put this in quarterback terms. You draft a rookie quarterback. He really struggles in the first 13 weeks of the season. But as a rookie, a talented guy that you believed in, he then turns it on that final month of the season. You probably say, you know, I saw enough from him. Let's keep this thing together for one more season and go along. And Brady, I think there's kind of another added twist to this here. George Payton, the Broncos don't want to move on from him. But let's say the Broncos move on from Nathaniel Hackett, keep George Payton. George Payton makes another coaching hire. That doesn't go well next year. Well, then you're moving on from George Payton, and then you're probably also moving on from that first-year head coach that you hired next year, because then you want to bring a new GM in and allow him to hire his head coach. So you really do want to give – the Broncos do want to give the benefit of the doubt to Nathaniel Hackett, but that doesn't mean that change wouldn't happen. Likely you're going to see Evereaux, if in this situation where Hackett stays. Hackett's obviously going to stay the head coach. Evereaux's going to stay the defensive coordinator. But then you're going to make a lot of changes, and you're going to force Nathaniel Hackett to make a lot of changes on the offensive staff, maybe starting with Justin Outten as offensive coordinator, but certainly you're going to be looking at other position coaches and saying, we need to change things, because the Broncos will be making changes. Just how high up will it go? I think this next month will determine that.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, joining us. How much of the decision is still all George Payton's? I mean, if the Walton Penner group says, hey, we're not firing you, George, so you're still 100% in control of coaching decisions and personnel here. If that is being said, does George Payton then say, yeah, I'm sticking with my guy?
Yeah, and I don't think that's being said, and I think that's a good point that you bring up, George, Brady, is I don't think it 3-10, George Payton should be on the hot seat. And I say that because everyone in that organization that's on the football side of things should be on the hot seat, from players to coaches to general managers to scouts. The Broncos are incredibly disappointing this year. So everyone should be on the hot seat. That doesn't mean that everyone should be fired. But when you're on the hot seat, you don't get 100% control of what's going on. And so the Penners, if they do hire a new head coach and they keep George Payton would obviously be involved in the interviews, obviously have a say. They would lean on him a lot because he's the football guy. And the Walton Penner Group is business people. They're not football people. So they would rely on him for that. But they would have the final say. They would have a lot of say in this. It wouldn't just be, George, go take our private jet, go interview as many people as you want, come back, and we'll hire your guy. No, George has not earned that from this group yet, because remember, this group has took over in August. Brady, what's happened since? The Broncos gave out what looks to be a really bad extension to Russell Wilson, and then they're 3-10 on the field. So you kind of have to step away from who people think George Payton is and just look at what does this ownership group think.
Yeah, boy, it's a convoluted mess, isn't it? That's what happens, I suppose, when you make these hires and then a new ownership group comes in, and it's just kind of this mixed assortment of personalities and visions going forward. So you're right, Zach, you're right on it. These last four games we still need. Yesterday was kind of nice, but still need more of a sample size, I guess, to see what maybe this could be. Are they going to be doing it with Russell Wilson as soon as the Arizona game? Does he sit out potentially with the concussion for at least a week? And then do you consider, if he's the long-term plan, which financially would tell you that he has to be, do you consider shutting him down for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you know, Brady, I think that's a conversation that should be happening, but I don't think that's one that's actually going to come to fruition, because I think if Russell Wilson is healthy, Nathaniel Hackett, we just talked about it, he's fighting for his job. So he's going to want Russell Wilson out there. George Payton, potentially fighting for his job, he's going to want Russell Wilson out there. And Russell Wilson himself is the ultimate competitor. He's missed one game already this season, but that was an anomaly. He missed three games last year. Those were the first games he's ever missed in his NFL career. He is extremely tough. And last night, he proved it. He was willing to do whatever he could, including diving headfirst in what turned out to be a very scary situation. And then Brady, right after, I don't know if the TV copy showed this, he tried to get back in the huddle before even going to the sideline, because he said, no, I want to stay in the game. I want to play. Obviously, the medical staff took him off the field. So I just think if he passes the concussion protocol, he will play. And right now, the concussion protocol is a day-by-day thing. We'll start seeing some progress potentially on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But one thing that won't happen is Russ will not practice this entire – he won't practice a full week this week, even if he does pass through. We'll probably know Friday or Saturday if he's passed through the concussion protocol. But that means Brett Rypien is going to get a lot of reps as the starting quarterback this week.
Certainly a scary moment for Russell Wilson, but Zach, also a moment where a lot of Broncos fans, a lot of media members like us, we all kind of went, that you don't want anybody to get hurt. You don't want anybody to get severely hurt, obviously, but that was a moment there where you said, that was Russ. That was the guy.
Yep.
That was the one
yep.
we signed up for. And there was the fight. He's throwing defenders off of him. He's diving forward, trying to get a touchdown. There was real raw emotion and drive to try to win a game. Fans really needed to see that.
Fans, but also players and teammates, Brady. And you heard it after. They guys on offense, on defense, they really showed their support and appreciation for Russ doing everything he could. And then on top of that, Brady, you said this is the Russ the Broncos signed up for. He led the league. He led the Broncos in rushing yesterday, and it wasn't even close. Had over 50 rushing yards. Now, that's probably not the formula for long-term success, but you got to throw long-term success out the window right now. You got to just play good right now. Focus on this year, next year, the next couple of years, and that's what Russell Wilson does. On two of the Broncos' four touchdown drives, Russell Wilson had a big run in each of them, and so that just shows that's one of the things that the Broncos' offense was able to do to get going, and that's something that just showed that Russ is still able to do that. And you know what? Over these past probably 2 weeks or so, I've seen Russ move a lot better, and that's the Russ that the Broncos signed up for, just like you said.
Zach, Jerry Jeudy was obviously emotional when the offense was struggling, and then he was emotional once he got going. There were some play calls, though, that I said, wow, this is an offense that's utilizing their receiver skill set. Get him out. If you see that he's in single coverage, you use that speed to get open, and he did. What's that like today, or what was it like in that locker room with Jerry Jeudy, knowing he was so clearly upset at first and then, you know, pumped up on the other side of it? What was that like?
Yeah, I think you got to give so much credit to Nathaniel Hackett, something that probably Broncos fans don't really want to do too much of, but you got to give Nathaniel Hackett credit because, one, when Cortland Sutton was ruled out of the game, the Broncos changed Jerry Jeudy's position to take over that spot. So he kind of played a new position this year, and boy, did that fit his strength. It took a while for them to find out that that's where he belongs, but that is where Jerry Jeudy needs to be. That's the role he needs to have. And then the second part, you mentioned it. Jerry Jeudy could have been ejected from the game because he ran into official pretty clearly. The officials were nice of not just ejecting him right there, but Nathaniel Hackett talked to him on the sideline, calmed him down, and that was before he had any touchdowns. And then what happens? Hackett calmed him down, and then Jerry goes out, not one, not two, but three touchdowns on the day, potentially a breakout game. Coming into this game, Jerry Jeudy had three touchdowns on the season. He doubled that in one game. Jerry Jeudy should be the Broncos' number one receiver the rest of the season, just to see if that's a role that he can embrace and take on, despite if Cortland Sutton plays or not. Jerry Jeudy is the guy for the Broncos, and you know what? Coming into this game, I said that one of the Broncos' biggest focuses in the offseason needs to be, one, building up the offensive line, and two, getting Russell Wilson a playmaker. Boy, would it be great if Jerry Jeudy is that in-house already.
It's you know, just like you said with Russ, it was what we expected when Jerry Jeudy was drafted, and you saw that.
Yeah.
Zach, before I let you go, I haven't brought you through this in a while, but we got rapid fire for you here.
I love it.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, will Russell Wilson play Sunday?
No.
Will,
gut feeling.
Okay. Nathaniel Hackett, head coach in 2023 for the Broncos?
Yes. I mentioned it earlier. They want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And if they're able to get anything from yesterday, it's just that momentum. And, they, man, if they can win two games, which is crazy to say, but if they can win two games, I think he's back.
Offensive coordinator for the Broncos next year, meaning the one that's calling the plays. Is it Nathaniel Hackett calling the plays? Is it Justin Outen? Is it Clint Kubiak? Is it outside hire?
Outside hire. I'll go, that's the big coaching change up here.
Is it Ciro Evero in the mix next year as defensive coordinator for the Broncos? Is he still?
Absolutely.
Is he still?
Yes.
Okay. He's still with Denver.
Yes, I think so. He will be the Broncos defensive coordinator. And look, we kind of saw the defense break down a little bit yesterday. The Broncos played some more high scoring teams to end the season. So I think Evero gets an interview or two for head coach, but I don't think any team makes him their head coach this cycle.
Super Bowl champion this year. Zach, who you got?
Oh, man. I mean, despite the Broncos almost beating them yesterday, I still got to go with Patrick Mahomes. He's still just incredible. Now, three interceptions, that's concerning, but that's just not something you see him do often. So I'm going to go that the Chiefs, unfortunately, do it for the second time with Mahomes.
Zach, my man, great as always. Love your stuff, and we'll look to catch up with you later on in the week or early next week.
I love it, Brady. Thank you so much.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He thinks Hackett might be here. There you go. 11:53 the time. Let's jump out, get a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. I got the lunch rush coming up. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, right around the corner. We'll get to some of your text. The Method Flow Products poll question. Did you see enough yesterday to think that maybe Nathaniel Hackett should come back as the head coach next season? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
On the other side, we'll have Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, and our lunch rush. a look at some of the top stories trending nationally in the sports world. I want to remind you, Battleground Pro Wrestling presents Winter Warfare at the Greeley Rec Center on January 7th. Doors open at 5:30. Former WWE star Brian Kendrick will be taking on Sam Knight in the main event. Seating is limited, so you can get pre-sale tickets at BattlegroundProWrestling.com. Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that. Battleground Pro Wrestling. Busy second hour coming up on the show. We'll talk about the Nuggets, too, man. I mean, Jamal Murray, he's rocking and rolling these last two games. Has he turned the corner? Are we going to get bubble version of Jamal Murray from now on? We can only hope. Second hour of the whole show coming up next.